contain mature themes. And if you're not down with that, we got three words for you. Like the podcast. Nailed it!
Would you like to sample some of my nuts? Hello and welcome to another episode of Old Man Strength. I am your host, Chris Shipley, joined with by my co-host, Aaron Wall. Aaron, what is up?
Oh, I just noticed another thing on that intro picture. Did you notice the two like giant veins in my forehead on that one side? Where it looks like I could be shooting crack into those things.
I may or may not have. They are enormous. I almost pulled your new profile picture off Twitter and was going to put it on there, but I wouldn't do it without your permission.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I just find that picture kind of amusing because I'm staring down at a drink that probably isn't mine because it's right? Not like I drink those kinds of drinks. So who knows, you know?
Yeah.
But
Well, things are going swimmingly. If you're tuning in to get a glimpse and to listen to us talk about an interview, Brooks Reynolds from the from JR Southport Ranch and the Bacon Fest, I believe he may have had a conflict trying to get him on the horn, but he's not responding. And as I launch tonight's pod, I have two error messages on Facebook that it's not broadcasting on Facebook. So. Sure enough, things are going swimmingly tonight here over at 3U.
Perfect. Crushing it.
Crushing it.
Super Listen, professional.
I had an absolute panic attack last week because Kyle Lehman is going to do a show for his mortgage company and do some good interview guests and things like that. So I was showing his team how to use StreamYard. And like the videos weren't playing on my computer and I couldn't figure out why. And I was like, it must be a glitch. You know, something must be running in the background. I'm not sure. So I was able to show him everything. So I didn't think anything about it. I just thought it was a one-time thing. And then last Monday when Side of the Storm had Coach Mauser on, the offensive coordinator for Iowa State, I logged into StreamYard and it was still doing it. And I couldn't play any of the video, couldn't play any of the intros, none of the ads or anything else. And I was like, shit, it's 5 minutes till showtime. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I had to pull out my old laptop and fire that beast up. And somehow, luckily, Coach Mauser had texted and said, hey, I'm running 10 minutes behind. Can we push it 10 minutes? And I was like, absolutely, we can. So.
Well, that's handy when it works out like that.
Yeah, I was like, man, what is going on? So I'm pretty sure it's Facebook that's all dicked up and I'm not happy with Facebook anyways. I've been trying to get control of a business page for 3 weeks now. And I'm telling you, man, working with Meta support is the absolute fucking worst. Mm. They are terrible.
Yeah. I believe it.
And they told me to go.
I'm sure a lot of it is, well, we have to protect whoever it might be, and not, you know, and prove that you're who you are. And
that's exactly what it was. And they would,
it's amazing. And all big companies are that way. You have to verify you're who you say you are 87 different ways. Pretty soon we're going to have to shit in a box and send it to them.
That was like they would send me like these requirements and then I would fill out the requirements. I'd sign the form. I'd send them the documentation. And then they'd send it back and go, oh, well, I need it to word to say exactly this. And then I would change the wording. And then at one point, I even got an email that says, okay, we've approved it. And then somebody else got a hold of it. And we're like, oh, sorry, we didn't approve this. We have to have this. And I was like, Jesus. So now I'm just going to have to, I don't know, go a legal way and go back to the person that has control of the page and say, going to need that. You're going to have to transfer it over here. It's not your property. So.
No,
kind of a pain in the ass, but
yeah, I get that.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little sore today.
Yeah.
As we've talked about before, trying to exercise and get in shape and do some stuff. And I was looking at the weather. Well, let me back up. My wife left for a work trip yesterday. And she only goes on maybe one or two a year. And she just had to go down to Portland. But I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I got Sunday to myself. When I look at the weather and the weather says no rain and it's going to get sunny in the afternoon. So I'm like, I'm going to ditch my kid. My kid is 14, people. Don't freak out. She's capable of taking care of herself. But I decided to ditch her and go play golf.
Yep.
And I walked 18 holes. I used a push cart, but
yeah,
it's a lot of walking for a fat old man. I'm a little stiff, a little sore today, but overall, I know it's good for me. It ends up being 15,000 steps or something when you go play golf, especially when you see as much of the course as I do. Right? But, so it was all right. It was good, but, stiff.
I had a buddy of mine that used to joke, say, I paid for those green fees, so I'm going to see every inch of them.
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely. I used to walk quite a bit when I was losing a bunch of weight about 12 years ago, but I just can't do it anymore. I can't even get through I can't play 18 holes anymore just in a cart. Like, I'm exhausted. I don't know what it is. Drinking probably doesn't help.
Yeah, probably not. I saw an interesting thing on Twitter, X, Twitter, whatever. Fuck it.
It's Twitter.
Today. That was a question of, if you banned alcohol on the golf course, how many people would quit playing? Not like you can't have a drink after the round in the clubhouse.
Right.
Just on the course. You can't. With no alcohol on the course. How many people would quit playing? And of course, there are a bunch of idiots in there that didn't want to read and comprehend the question. And wanted to get into the argument of, well, all the golf courses would shut down because of the revenue stream. Yeah, that's not the question they were asking, though, right?
Right.
So, yes, we understand that it's a gigantic revenue stream for the golf courses. We're not idiots, but this is a theoretical question, so you don't have to worry about all those other aspects. And so I think it was 1 to 10%, 10 to 35%, then up to 50%, I think 36 to 50%, and 50 or greater were the questions or the possible answers. I thought it might be 10, 11 to 25%.
I feel like it's higher.
You think more people?
I think more.
Because I mean, I will drink on the course. Like, if I'm teeing off at 8 a.m., I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Right.
But I might have one, maybe two. I'm not playing golf to get schmammered. But I know there are people like that. My neighbor, who's definitely probably not listening to this, is one of those people. Every time I go play golf with him, all he does is get shit-faced. So I stopped going and playing golf with him.
I don't get shit-faced either, but I feel like I shouldn't say the majority. The majority of people are going out there to play the game because they like to play the game. But I don't know that I would go play as much if I could not drink on the course. Is that fair? Like, I go a lot because I know I'm going to be with my buddies. We'll have some drinks. I suck at golf, so it's a good time. I still like to play, but I'm going more for the social aspect of it, right? So I would venture to guess if I wasn't allowed to drink, I would probably be less engaged to go.
Yeah. I mean, get that.
Now you have the diehards, the retired guys and guys that love to play golf. Like, you know what I mean? Like Sean and Teddy and those guys are a good example. They go play golf all the time to play golf, right? They're trying to beat the course. They have a score they want to beat. They're playing each other. You know what I mean? Things like that. They're not going out there to drink. That's just something they do along with it. And Teddy and Justin actually don't drink anymore. Kudos to them. But so there's a good example. Those guys play a lot of golf. They're not going out there to drink. So,
yeah, I mean, it's interesting, though. You say it's for the social aspect, but you do lots of things socially that don't involve drinking.
Yeah.
You had to think about that for a minute. I had to think about what those are. But you know, I mean, so.
No, you're right.
I don't know. That's why I wonder just how many people. I mean, it was an interesting question.
Right. You know? But I think I say it that way for golf because I'm not very good at golf. Right. Bowling's another good example. I absolutely suck at bowling. If somebody asked me to just go bowling and I wasn't allowed to drink, I'd be like, I'm not interested. But if I'm going to go and have some drinks and laugh with my buddies and whatever else, then I would go bowling. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it would be more dependent then for sure on who you were going with.
Right.
You know, because I mean, I got buddies that if they said they wanted to go bowling, I would go bowling, and whether I can drink or not. Right. I'm not JT who
right.
goes bowling and posts his scores on Twitter and,
God love
you. Talks about how many spares he missed and all of that, which is good for him. I'm glad he enjoys it.
My friend Tim's the same way. He bowls every Thursday night.
Yeah, I'm not that guy for sure.
Nope.
But I could go. I mean, like if I had friends that wanted to go or whatever, going and even drinking or not drinking, if I'm with the right group of people, I guess it just doesn't matter.
Well, and I guess maybe it also depends on like the group of guys. So I go on a golfing trip every spring to the Ozarks with my friend Ryan, my brother-in-law Brett, and my friend Tim. And we started going several years ago. We were in a men's retreat together and we just like, you know what, let's make this like a yearly thing where we spend a weekend together and just go hang out. Now, I won't lie, we drink quite a bit of whiskey those in the evenings at back at the condo or whatever, and we do drink on the porch or whatever, but
sure,
there have been a couple times where we've decided to make it a dry weekend and we decided not to drink, at least on the course, and we went and played every day for 3 days in a row because we were getting out of the house and we were, you know, hanging out together or whatever else. But so in that manner I'll go if we don't drink, but because I'm still going with friends and socially hanging out and things like that. That's what that trip is for, though, is for us to just kind of spend the weekend together and things like that. It's kind of our start of summer little getaway that we do.
Yeah, for sure. Totally get that. So I went and played that day, Sunday, right? Which is how all this started. And I don't remember how my back nine finished because I kind of quit keeping score after a certain point because my body was just like, you are so done from walking. Right. So pretty worn out by the time I got to, I did par 18 though, like a
nice
509 yard par five that runs uphill. So it plays a lot longer. For all you golf nerds listening, you get it. On the front nine, I had four pars on the front nine. And I had five double bogeys. There's no in between. It was like, I'm either parring this hole or I'm double bogeying it. I don't know what the heck was. Because my driver was absolutely murdering me. Because it was all over the place. I don't know. I should have got my four iron out and hit it down the middle 210 yards and called it a day on most of the holes, and I'd have been a lot better off.
See, you're a lot better golfer than I am, because I it would never even dawn on me to play an iron off the tee. There's no way.
Yeah.
Now that's telling me that you're playing more. You've obviously done that before, so you are playing more strategy. I can't hit driver here. Every hole I'm pulling driver because I figure at this point I got to get it down there as far as I can get it.
Yeah. Well, so on a three, let's say it's a short par four, 325 yards or something like that. Right.
Right. I'm hitting driver.
yeah. And if it's really wide open and I'm playing in a scramble or something where we've already got somebody in the fairway, I'll probably hit the driver too, right? Because I'm trying to launch it just to see how close I can get.
Right.
You know, on a good day, I might get pretty dang close.
Right.
But the problem with doing that when you're playing stroke player, just trying to play from score, is it puts you at an in-between distance in between your short wedge and, distance is green. So for me, I want to be around 100 to 110 yards to hit my, what I call my gap wedge. It's, an A wedge in my clubs, but, that 100 and 110 yards. So if it's a, I want to hit it 200 yards,
right?
210 yards on a hole like that, so that I've got a nice full club into the green, just to make it easier on myself, not that in between short pitch chip stuff is where you end up chunking it three times trying to get to the green and you throw your fucking club in the water.
there may or may not be one club in the woods down at Shady Oaks outside of Indianola.
I've actually never done that, but I've sure wanted to before.
It was the first club I ever had. It was my parents had got me a set of golf clubs for Christmas, and I don't know, I had that club for probably 10 years, and I don't think I ever in the history of having that club ever hit it right, ever. And I remember I was on this hole at Shady Oaks outside of Indianola, Iowa, and there was nothing but trees lining all the way to the right side, and it was all wide open on the left. And I pulled that club out, and sure enough, I shanked it completely, sliced it completely into those trees. And I just opened a brand new set of golf balls that had like an Iowa State logo on it, and I had drilled one of those over there, and I was so mad I just threw that club in those woods. And I was like, I never want to hit that club ever again in my entire life. And I don't know why I'm mad, because I suck anyway. So it's not like I play awesome and that one shot ruined it for me. I was just so frustrated with that one club. I never, ever hit it good one time. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I'll never want to see that club again.
Well, that's
guarantee
funny.
It's still in those woods. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Let's do this. Do you know what the best round of golf you've ever played is?
I couldn't tell you the score, but I could tell you the feeling and the best round. There's actually a funny story to it, but
Go ahead.
Okay, so Stacy and I had just gotten married. We were living in the house that I had moved into, her house that she had before we got married, and she's off for the summers because she's a teacher. And she was like, she said, I want to paint. I think I want to paint the living room, she said. And I was like, okay. And she's like, it's just a project that I'll do on my own and you don't have to do anything, but I just want to paint the living room. And I was like, great. That sounds great. So yeah, I think it was like a Wednesday. I was working at Wells Fargo. It was like 6 to 2:30. I was working from home. And a couple of days before Wednesday, I'd said, you know what? I'm going to go play golf Wednesday after work. I just want to go by myself. I'm going to go walk the course. I want to go play golf. So turns around, she decides to start painting that day. So I get off work at 2:30. I walk upstairs and you just see things are not going very well with the paint job, right? And I said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and go play golf. And she goes, okay, go ahead. Are you sure it's okay? Because I feel like it's not okay. And she's like, if you want to go play golf, go ahead. It's fine with me. It's fine. Okay. So I left. I went and played golf. Played the best round I had ever played. Like, I was hitting driver well. I was probably shooting bogey golf, but there was a couple pars mixed in there. And I remember I got to this one hole and it was a par three, and I had like just hit it to the left of the green. And there was this one little tree branch like hanging between me and the green. And I took this flop wedge and I kind of turned it and I punched into the ball, and man, that ball just barely went underneath the tree branch, hit the green, bounced a couple times and stopped dead right next to the hole. Like, it was the greatest shot I'd ever hit. Tap that in. Next hole was a par five, made the green in three, hit a birdie. I'm like, I am flying high. I get home. I'm all excited to tell Stacy about this round of golf I had. I walk in the house and instantly I can feel I'm in trouble. Like, I walk in and I can just feel the tension in the house. And she's got stuff moved all over and there's paint laying, you know, and she's a good painter. Like, it's not like she can't paint. So I don't know what the deal was. And I come in and instantly I go, is everything okay? And she's like, well, no. And I was like, well, what's the matter? She's like, well, I can't believe you went and played golf. You said I could go. I asked you specifically if I could go. And you said yes. And she goes, well, I didn't want to be one of those wives that told you you couldn't go play golf. Oh, so you'd rather be one of those wives that makes me feel like shit afterwards? Instantly, I knew that was a mistake.
That was gonna. That didn't help either. That did not help. No.
So, needless to say, I helped finish painting the living room, but I should have known better because I left there and I was like, I feel like this is probably not a good idea that I should go play golf right now.
That's funny. It actually is kind of why I don't go play more than I do, is because traveling for work and stuff, it's like, do I really want to take 5 hours away from my wife and kid on the weekend when I've been gone all week?
Yep.
So that's why I don't play as much as I would like to, which is also why I'll never probably ever get back to my lowest score ever. So, you know, but if I can get down into I'm just trying to get down into the 80s again, really, and play respectable golf.
I think the best I've ever, I mean, like, consistently, I was probably low 90s on a consistent basis. And that was when I did, like, get a membership out here in Norwalk. I was living on the south side. I was married to Caitlin and Tyler's mom. And I was, they had this membership deal where you could pay like $380 for the year. And you could go, and it wouldn't cost you anything to go walk.
Right.
And then if you wanted to ride a cart, it was just an extra $10. Well, I was like, I had gastric bypass. I was looking for a reason to lose, to get exercise. So I would just go walk it. And I'd get off at like 2:30 in the afternoon. I'd get there by 3:00. I was done by 5:30. So I would go like every day and just go walk. And I got really good. I mean, I felt like I did, you know, and I think I almost play better when I was walking. But kind of the same deal. I think looking back, I played a lot because I didn't want to be around her. Yeah. As bad as that sounds.
Place to go and get away.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily do that now because when I have free time, like if we have free time on the weekends or whatever, I'd rather go do something with her, or we go do something with the kids or something like that rather than, and she likes to play golf. When we first met, we played golf together a lot, but, it gets kind of pricey when you got to go like for two of you. It starts to get up there a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure.
So
I'm starting to figure that out. My daughter's, I'm trying to teach her how to play, and she's, not really into going to the range and getting work in.
Yep.
She wants to go to the course.
Right.
And I told her, I'm not taking you to the course until you spend more time at the range. Because up here, it's so stinking busy. There's not that many courses. And if it's decent out,
it's packed.
People are all over the place.
And right. Yeah.
It's hard to take her out and have her missing balls and chunking it around and try to keep pace of play going, you know?
Right.
I need to get her motivated enough to go when it's like drizzly out and people aren't playing and we could still go. But
yeah.
You know, but anyways, so you talked about going on a weekend trip with your buddies to play golf, which leads into the next thing we're going to talk about, which is just kind of smallish vacations, not the big grand ones.
Yep.
But let's talk about that. But maybe we should probably get a word from a sponsor first, and then
let's get a word from Revelton Distilling Company and check out Rob and Christy down at Revelton Distilling Company, 1400 West Clay Street. Check out their their lineup coming up. I think their Saturdays are going to start gearing up with live music and things like that for the summer. And they're going to have all kinds of cool events down there. So we'll get a word from them, and then we'll be back with Old Man Strength.
Why take the best corn in the world and make it into fuel when you could make it into whiskey? That's the question that launched Revelton, Iowa's most visible and fastest growing distillery. Owners Rob and Christy Taylor embrace the grain-to-glass philosophy, sourcing ingredients locally and overseeing on-premises production and bottling at their facility in Osceola. One sip, and you'll agree that Revelton's handcrafted whiskeys, gins, and vodkas are the best you've ever tasted. And with the launch of their rye whiskey, made with 100% Iowa-grown rye and corn, and their new bourbon coming soon, there's more Revelton to love than ever. Iowa's own Revelton Distillery. ReveltonDistillery.com.
All right, and we're back. Look at that fancy commercial I made, man. My marketing.
I know, it's really nice. And Denny, it's not drizzly all the time in Seattle. It's only drizzly like 9 months out of the year.
So we were talking about trips. Speaking of that, I went and had lunch with my buddy that I go on a golf trip, and Stacy and his wife Angela and our friend's wife Tim's wife Sarah have decided to start making this bucket list stuff of these things that we want to do together as friends and little friend trips and things like that. And one of the places that I would love to go visit sometime is Seattle and go to like the Fisherman's Wharf and that whole area up there and
Pike's Market.
Yep. Yeah. I think it would be cool to go up there and visit the Northwest and San Francisco. I'd love to go to San Francisco too. But anyways, that just reminded me, because Denny said it was drizzly up there, that we just had that conversation yesterday. So
if you come in the summer, July, late June through September,
yeah,
it'll be sunny and 80 degrees.
Really?
Most all the time. It doesn't rain. We'll go 50, 60 days without rain in the summer.
Yeah.
But in the winter, think England or Ireland, drizzly, cool, you know, that's just yep. how it is all the time. So, but it doesn't get super cold because we're on the water, you know, it's right. like 45 or 50 degrees a lot of the year.
See, I can handle that.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's the no sun that gets people, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, but given that I travel for work, I get out of the, you know, get to places that I'm getting sun and
right
stuff a little more often than most do. But to travel, talk about small vacations. And you're talking about, and this was an idea that you'd brought up here, and you're talking about little weekend trips to, like, say in Iowa, say you're going to go to Omaha or Minneapolis or
right.
Kansas yep. City, like just short yep. weekend trips, not big blowout vacations to right. Disney World or anything like that. So what is it exactly that you wanted to talk about on that?
I don't, you know what? I'm curious because Stacy and I were talking about with the boys at the age that they are, they're old enough that they can kind of be on their own, but with their special needs, they still need, you know, we can't leave them for weeks at a time and things like that. And we were just having conversations about how we're not really in a position to be able to just, you know, like some of our friends can, you know, hop on a plane and go on a cruise for a week or whatever. It's just not available for us right now, which is, you know, it is what it is. It's not a complaint, but we have found that it's almost just as fun to just be like, okay, we're going to leave on a Friday evening. We're going to pick a destination and we'll be back Sunday afternoon. And it's a couple days with just us by ourselves. And we hit little areas that are within driving distance. Right. So like a year and a half ago, we took a little weekend trip up to La Crosse. Never been to La Crosse in my entire life. It was a cool little town. We went to a brewery. We went to a couple of distilleries, things like that, and stayed in a fun little hotel. And, you know, it was a nice recharge or whatever. So what's more fun? Is it those week-long vacations, do you think? Or is it those tiny little mini vacations that you can go take and spend a little bit, a couple of days together?
Well, so, and maybe it's a unique situation to people who do things like I do for work, which is travel regionally right. for the most part. all the little places where we could go, I've been. I've seen it. I've been there. I don't want to go necessarily to those places because I want to go places I haven't been. Now, the problem is my wife hasn't been to any of those places.
Yeah.
So she wants to go. But she's like, oh, it'll be a fun weekend. And I'm not opposed to going. And we do sometimes do stuff like this. But what she also doesn't understand, and where my part of it from traveling for work comes in, is that traveling to one of those places that's 3 or 4 hours away isn't saving me very much money compared to traveling to someplace that's a plane ride away.
Right.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, it isn't that big of a difference in cost for doing those vacations.
Right. You know,
a little weekend vacation is $1,000.
Yep.
You know, pretty easily. If you go and you stay in a hotel, and, you know, because hotel rooms anymore, $100 a night. So you got two of those plus you're driving, you got a couple hundred dollars in fuel. You're $400, $600 into the trip before you've ever gone out to eat or done any attractions or any of the other stuff. So, you know, it's one of those things where I get it. I totally understand why you'd want to do some of that. And I'm not, like I said, not like opposed to it per se, but it's just for me, it's like going to the same places over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why people, well, I don't understand people that do that anywhere, let alone, you know, places that are basically in your backyard. Like there's a little bitty town, just over the mountains from us called Leavenworth, Washington. And it's a Bavarian ski village-y town, right? Think Pella, but, you know, Norwegian ski village type.
Right.
Shit. And my neighbors go over there a couple times a year. I'm like, what the fuck for? Why? You've seen it, you know? It's kind of the same with people who are like, oh, we go to this same place in Maui every year.
Yeah, see that? Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I get it. Maui's beautiful. I've been there. But to just go to the same place over and over and over again, I do not understand that. Like, I just don't get it.
That's why I don't think I understand, like, when some people buy like a timeshare or a condo in the same spot every time. Like I'm kind of with you on that. Like when we take our big vacation, so we do try to take like a week vacation as a family. Now the kids are getting older. Like last year we made Caitlin and Walker pay part of their portion because, you know, they're adults at this point. If you want to go with us, you guys need to be paying some of the same stuff. But we do try at that point, we try to pick some place that we've never been before. You know what I mean? You know, last year we went to Gulfport, Mississippi. The year before we went to Colorado we went to Chicago. For the boys' conference, went to Denver and outside of Denver and Keystone, Colorado in 2021, 2020, we went to Alabama, things like that. So, those big long vacations, but even those smaller little weekend trips, like I've been to Omaha before. We went with some friends a couple of months ago. It was fun. We went and did things we hadn't done before, but I probably wouldn't make another trip to Omaha. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the whole idea of traveling is to see things you haven't seen.
Right.
I mean, at least in my opinion. Yeah. You know, and I'm not anti going back to some places, you know, because there's always more to see, right?
Right.
Because you never see everything the first time. Like, we just went to Chicago for a weekend. We short vacationed it. To Chicago for a weekend, and, you know, we flew, obviously we're out of Seattle, but I had a companion fare to use with my Alaska card, so like, and Jess had enough points I think from our other travels to pay for her ticket, so it cost me like $500 to fly, so the cost of the flights wasn't a big deal,
right?
You know, so we did the Field Museum, and we did the shed aquarium and a bunch of other stuff, right? And my daughter walked out on that scary ass piece of glass in the Willis Tower.
Oh, yeah, no thanks on that deal.
Hard pass. And you know,
I'm
did that
scared to death of heights anyways.
For well, I'm not scared of the height, I'm scared of the fall. but you know, so we did that stuff, and there's a lot of other things to do in Chicago. So would I go back to Chicago? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, there's other museums and there's other things to do. We went in the winter, so going in the summer would be kind of fun, you know. But it's not like I'm going there all the time. I mean, last time I was in Chicago was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So maybe in another 10 years, I might think about going back, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, I just don't find the appeal to the going to the same places. A small trip to someplace you haven't been is cool, but those small trips, you've only got so many options.
That's kind of what we're finding now. Like, we went to lacrosse.
How far do you go?
Right.
Like, what's the radius that you consider a weekend? Right. If it's three, you know, say from Des Moines, if it's 4 or 5 hours, you know, I mean, St. Louis is technically outside of that.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, Chicago's outside of that.
Right.
You know, so you got Kansas City and Omaha and Minneapolis and
right.
I mean, Sioux City.
Yeah. Well, we've stayed in Sioux City before too. But
Cedar Rapids.
We went to we went to Galena. Like, that's, you know,
yeah,
3.5-4 hours. Yeah. We went there. That's now off the bucket list. We wouldn't drive that again. You know what I mean? We were talking yesterday, my friend Ryan and I were talking yesterday about because he's looking for a trip to go with his wife on their anniversary. And we were talking about that Stacy and I would like to go back to Mexico to the all-inclusive resort that we had went to when we first got married. Now, that was, I don't know, what, 13 years ago. So
yeah.
We haven't been there for 13 years. But then we got to talking about how that was an all-inclusive. But like when we went there, I think we stayed, like we went to the swim-up bar, the pool, one time the entire week we were there. And looking back, we're like, why did we do that? We went and then we like went on an excursion to go snorkeling one day. And then on another day, we went to Playa de Carma to do shopping and things like that. And then on another day, we went and did Shell Hall and Tulum and the ruins and things like that. And, you know, after a while, we were thinking, we were like, man, we spent a lot of money for this beautiful hotel and all these amenities. And we spent extra money to go outside of it. And we, you know, so now we're like, if we go again, we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to spend the majority of our time in the resort, soaking up the shit that we've already paid for, you know, the drinks that we've paid for, the, you know, the amenities, the pools, all that other stuff.
You go try to get your money's worth
and get our money's worth. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we've kind of found like, well, and it was a great vacation. We have a lot of great memories, but man, we kind of missed out on an opportunity to enjoy some of the stuff that we were paid for too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah. I don't know. My wife's one of those people. I think she would go back to the same places all the time if I would let her.
Yeah.
Like, we went to Scotland last year. She's like, I'll go back to Scotland tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, I'm like, I mean, it was beautiful. It was great.
Right.
And I would probably go back, but if I went back, I would be playing golf. I would be,
yeah.
It would be a golf trip, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it'd be me and her by ourselves where we didn't have Abby. Because we took our daughter, so we could go to all the distilleries and drink all the scotch we could drink.
Yep.
You know, it would be a different trip than the one we took this time.
Right.
Excuse me. So it's one of those things. I don't know.
What's your three maybe bucket list trips that you want to do?
Okay. That's easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Number one, Italy. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it or not to you or not. So my grandmother was a World War II bride.
Oh, really?
She's from Naples, Italy. My grandfather, who was in World War II, met her while he was over there during the war, and brought her home after the war. So I have cousins that we know, right?
Right.
And stuff like that, still in Italy. That trip's already on the books. I don't have it paid for or started or anything, but we're doing that in 5 years.
Yeah.
After the summer after my daughter graduates from high school.
Okay.
She'll be 18. I have to get this idea past my wife yet, but I want to fly over there and, you know, visit all my family that I know and see all the things. Yeah. Which, you, again, you're not going to see them all on one trip because big country, right?
Yeah,
there's too much. But do all of that, and then I really want to leave my daughter there for a couple of weeks and let her just be a kid and explore. Yep. And hang with family that, you know. And I might convince my brother to do the same with his son, who is a year older.
Yeah.
So he'd be after like his freshman year of college. So if we could leave them two together, they could, you know, be buddies while they're over there and come back after a couple of extra weeks, you know.
Yeah.
So that's number one for sure. Two, Greece. We had that planned before the pandemic, tickets bought, the whole shebang.
I think I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, so we were going to go to Athens, spend a few days in Athens, and then go down to Crete. And check that out. And then we'll do that again at some point. And then the other one that I is relatively new to the list that I really don't know why. Everything I see about it just makes me want to go there. And that's Lisbon, Portugal.
Hmm.
Beautiful city by all accounts on the pictures, and supposed to be a very good food scene, which I'm a big fan of. It's a port city, so seafood and all of that. I'm all about it. And then I might be able to, on that trip, actually loop in, say, Madrid or something, right? Because Spain's right there. Where if I spent three or four, you know, flew into one of those two cities, like Lisbon or something, and stayed a few days, and then caught a train over to Madrid and spent a few days in Madrid. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That sounds amazing. Sorry.
Before you start, and one of the reasons none of the U.S. is in there,
yeah,
because I've been everywhere. There are five states in the U.S. I haven't been to.
And two of mine are within the states, but all of mine kind of revolve around like historical references. Like I've been pretty upfront. I am a huge history buff. I love historical things, and I am a huge World War II. Like I'll read anything I can get my hands on when it comes to World War II. So the first one for me would be Germany, and as not morbid, but like I would want to go and see like Auschwitz and see that type of stuff and just feel the atrocities and the terrible things that happened. You know what I mean? Not morbidly, but just like to pay honor to that, I guess. You know what I mean? And to see it. I've read so much stuff about World War II and my favorite are like personal stories of like soldiers or what they experienced and things like that. So that would be number one for me. Number two, I mentioned it earlier, is San Francisco. I don't know why I'm enamored with that city, but Alcatraz, I would love to go see Alcatraz and tour that. My wife wants absolutely nothing to do with that, by the way. So that would be something I would just have to go do on my own.
She probably wants to go to the Winchester House,
though. Right, yeah. You know, the Golden Gate Bridge. Just see some of those things that I grew up and saw. And the other one is going to be New York, just because it's New York. And I would like to go and,
sure,
you know, be in Times Square and go to the 9/11 museum and things like that. I went to Washington, D.C. when I was first married to Tracy. It was the first vacation we ever took. There's a good example of a city I would go back to because I missed 90%.
Oh, there's so much there.
I missed 90% of what I wanted to go see. Yeah. You know what I mean? Never went into the Smithsonian. Never went to... I tried for 3 days to go to the Holocaust Museum. I could never get tickets because it was, you know, packed or whatever else. But so things like that are more of what I would do. Now, little trips, you know, we're talking about we're going to go on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail. I'm super excited to be able to go do that.
Well, you got those a good reference for all that.
I know, right? Rob and Christy, I'll just get their map.
We had a great time when we did it a couple years ago.
Yeah. And then as weird as this sounds, I've never got to experience the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. And I want to go do that.
You know, I've never done that either. That's one of those things that would be a lot of fun. I really considered going to, Boston for the tournament game, but I just couldn't feasibly make it work, schedule wise. So, because I like Boston. I've been to Boston before. It's kind of a fun town. But it's been 25 years since I've been there, you know. So going and seeing what's changed and stuff would have been fun for a weekend. Yeah. So
I went to a work conference in Baltimore. Now that was a fun little city. I mean, I was in, you know, some nicer parts of Baltimore, but on the waterfront and things like that. Like our hotel was right on the waterfront. That was super cool. Yeah. Denny, yeah. I would totally go to Pearl Harbor. Like that's another one. I would totally go to Pearl Harbor and to see the USS Arizona and things like that.
Yeah. I've been there. It's pretty awesome. And then the USS Missouri is sitting there.
Yep.
You know, and there's a sub too, but I can't remember that you can walk on. It's pretty incredible. And hey, you better get to it before it's too late if you want to see it. It's hard to say how much longer that's all going to be there. Because the ship's eroding pretty significantly at this point.
The Missouri is?
No, the Arizona.
Or the Arizona? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because it's completely sunk. The Missouri is the one that like sank and like.
No, the Missouri is right. No, the Missouri is the one that. The Missouri is the one that they signed the.
That's right. That's right. The Arizona is the one that sank and just kind of blocked and channeled everything in. So.
Yeah. So. but yeah. So yeah, really cool.
We went to Alabama. When we were in Alabama, we stayed in this Airbnb, and it was like a mile and a half from this old Civil War fort, Confederate fort. And I dragged the kids over there and made them spend an entire day just walking around. So
yeah,
the kids know. And then when we drove back, we were driving back to the airport the day they had the USS Alabama in ported, and you could go to the tour and everything else. And we were running late. So I literally pulled into the parking lot and made the kids stand in the parking lot. And I was able to get the USS Alabama behind them in a picture. Nice. And Caitlin, all the kids were bitching, and Caitlin finally goes, "Just get out of the fucking car. Let's go get the picture taken, and then we can get on our way." That's I was like, "That's funny. All I want is the picture with USS Alabama behind it." It was a total dad move. So
yeah, that's funny. Why don't we take another break then? And I guess what we need to hear from Kyle.
Yep. Yeah, so we'll get a break. We'll listen.
Then we'll come back with one more topic, and then we'll get out of people's hair.
There we go. All right. We'll get a word from Kyle Lehman at Wintrust Mortgage. If you're looking for somebody to get a refinance or get your mortgage, if you're looking for a house, Kyle's the one to do it. And Kyle and his group are going to launch a new show here on Three Beards Media called Loans and Laughs. So look for that probably after the 1st of April is when they're going to start that show. So we'll be right back after a word from Kyle.
Are you in the market for a new house and unsure of the mortgage process? Want to know that you have someone looking out for you? Kyle Lehman from Wintrust Mortgage is a down-to-earth, knowledgeable lender who can be there for you in your corner. He can work with you in any of the 50 states and is just what you need to expand your home search. Kyle will work with you through the entire process with little to no work from you. Take the worry of the mortgage process out of the equation so that you can focus on looking for your dream home. Contact Kyle at www.wintrust.com/Kyle-Lehman or call him at 515-473-0546.
All right, and we're back. Okay, we are going to hit this last topic, and then, yeah, we'll get out of everybody's hair. I wonder if Iowa is winning. Are the Iowa women winning?
I don't know, and...
I know you don't care.
I don't care.
Well, they're only up by three with about 5 minutes left. So,
yeah, every Iowa sport can burn in hell for all I care. That's just my personal opinion. Right up there with Kansas.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have a text back from Brooks. Hold on. I'll see if we can get him rescheduled for 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I totally forgot. Shit. Had dinner at my lady's house and my phone was on silent and I didn't see your text until just now.
So, it happens. It happens.
That's right. I'm sure she's
the best of us.
Right. No kidding. So,
so while you're our final topic here.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to ask you a very, very quick
Wintrust
mortgage question
because
we just got our ad from him. Speaking of, and we'll ask Brooks when we do finally have him on, but I want your opinion. Bacon, crispy or limp?
Crispy. It's got to be crispy.
That's right. That's you finally got one right.
I know. I feel like...
Very
you were nervous. You. Be honest. You were nervous.
I was. Because my wife's like kind of a limp bacon person. I'm like, you're disgusting.
No, it's got to be crispy. Got to be crunchy. Crispy. I mean, yeah. there's a fine line between crunchy and like crispy. And some people go way too far with it. So,
yeah.
But I can't have it. I can't have it limpy.
Yeah. If you can go overboard, it can be so crisp that it turns into like a powder when you bite into
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
That's not good. But. You don't necessarily want that, but
we just had BLTs for dinner last night. So Stacy made the bacon and she made it for me.
Love a good BLT.
I had more of a B. I didn't have any lettuce or tomato because that's disgusting. So
I put fried eggs on mine.
I could do that. I could. Now you're just having a breakfast sandwich now.
What's the problem? Does it have to be? Who says you can't eat breakfast food at dinner? I do it all the time. Cool. So the last thing we're going to talk about, because we are old men.
Yep.
And one of the reasons I thought of this is because last week my daughter had her orientation or intro to activities, whatever you want to call it, for high school.
Yeah.
She's an eighth grader. She's going into high school this fall. I'm not looking forward to it. She obviously is very, very excited to become an Everett High Seagull. That's the school mascot. I thought we would be old men and go to what was the best thing about high school for you and what was the worst thing about high school for you. And at the end, would you do it all over again?
I'm going to say the best thing about high school was probably Friday night football nights and basketball games. And I had a couple really good group of friends that's what we did. We hung out, we'd go to the football game. We'd go to my friend's house. We'd hang out for the evening. We, you know, drive to basketball games, away basketball games. And those Friday nights, like, at the stadium and you're hanging out with your friends and that's kind of what I fondly remember about. Worst thing was probably not ever having a girlfriend or even a prospect of having a girlfriend. I mean, let's be honest. I was fat. I was dumpy. I had absolutely zero confidence whatsoever. So, it just was, seemed like all my friends had girlfriends and I never did. So it was a little rough that in that aspect.
That's fair.
How's that for bringing the pod down?
I don't know. I mean, that's why you ask the questions, right? Best and worst, right? So the question is, did the good stuff outweigh the bad stuff? Would you do it again?
Yeah, I think so. I would do it again for the memories and things like that, right? Like, I have a really good friend of mine that I still talk to every once in a while today that after Friday nights, we went to her house. Her parents would always have pizza. That was our place to hang out. We had like five or six friends. We would spend, you know, all Friday night at Tammy's house. And her parents were always so nice and cool. And they would, you know, give us food and hang out or whatever. I mean, Rob Taylor is a perfect example. Rob is a good friend of mine. I met Rob in high school. We would jack around in study hall all the time. I wouldn't have some of the relationships that I have now without it. So yeah, I would probably do it. But there's also some people that I was friends with that as I've gotten older have found out they weren't such great friends. So I would probably change that a little bit and not want to be. But
yeah, but you don't know those.
Overall, things, I would do it. I would do it again. Yeah. I would do it again.
Yeah, so it's funny. So for me, we almost have exact opposite opinions on it.
Yeah.
The best thing about it for me was the sports. Playing, I mean, I played 3 or 4 school sports every year. I'm a very competitive athletic person when I'm not old and out of shape. You know, and it's like when I got back into golf, my wife had never seen that part of me. The grind of I'm going to the range, 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 I'm going to the range. Like every day I was going to the range to work on my swing and get better. And she's like, she's never seen that competitiveness in me in the almost 15 years now that we've been together. Actually, a little over 15 years. So, you know, because I just wasn't active like that anymore when we first started getting together. I think the worst things is, for me, is to some extent just how you treat people as a high schooler.
Yep.
The people you don't like or the people that don't like you and how they treat you.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever be that terrible a person again.
Right.
I mean, and it's not intentional. You're kids. You're not, you know what I mean? It's not as though people don't grow up and you know, and all of that. So it's one of those things where, you know, I know there are times when I was in high school where I did not treat people well. And there are times where people did not treat me well. And you can't get away from it at that point. Right. And it's much harder to, especially in a small town. You know, I lived in a town, I graduated with 42 people.
Right.
There was no getting away from the people you didn't like or treated you bad. I mean,
there was no hiding.
You had to live in it the whole time, or it's not even hiding. You just choose not to associate with people, but you kind of have to in small towns like that. Because of those things, I would never want to do it again. You know, I left and went to college. I would do college 100 times out of 100. It was a completely different experience.
So I agree with you there too. I wish that I had a reset to do for college because I don't feel like I maximized all the opportunity that I had. And I don't mean academically, I mean memory wise. like,
oh, I've made a lot of memories.
I mean, and that's kind of what I look back and regret, though, because like Stacy has all these college friends that she's still friends with. They get together every year. They tell all these great stories of, you know, the parties they had in their house and all this stuff. And I'm like, I went for three semesters. I had two different roommates. Then I got kicked out for grades. I went back to DMAC for a year. I met Tracy. I lived in Ankeny and lived with Tracy and drove back and forth to school for the rest of the time. I don't have stories like, you know, like Ted Flint when he talks about, you know, hanging out at Welch Avenue Station, or, you know, when those guys talk about going to Size Roost. I never spent time in there. I don't have those memories. And it kind of sucks. You know, all these guys on, you know, all the Cyclone fans on Twitter that talk about all these fun places that they did stuff to, I don't have those memories. And it kind of sucks. I wish I did, but I lived in Ankeny and drove back and forth every day because I couldn't live up there because I didn't make good choices. So I had to distance myself from that so I could get through school. I wish now I could go back and know what I know and be able to experience those fun experiences. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I get that. I mean, I don't have the leftover friends from college really. In part because I've moved away, and you know, it's just hard to keep up when you're across the country or whatever. Right. I still, you know, some, but not a big group. You know, but all the memories and the shenanigans and the tomfoolery and stuff that happened in college.
Yeah.
You know, for sure remember that. And it was a good time. And at you know, people's and the dean's list, which is what it was when I was there, I don't know, it had three or four different names at one point, and size
I wouldn't have known.
Original Poncheros with the 2-pound El Gordo burrito.
But, yeah, see, that was after my time.
You know,
my staple was like, well, Welch Avenue Station was there, but like,
yeah,
I would order Rocky Rococo pizza like all the time. If I could find a Rocky Rococo's right now, I would order that pizza. It was so fucking good.
Yeah, see, I don't remember that one. That one must have been gone by the time I got there. We had Home Team.
We had Home Team as well.
Ate
a lot of Home Team. Yeah.
I don't remember Rocky's though.
Yep. It was, geez, I couldn't even, it was on. So, you know, where the square, kind of the square section that, where like where Welch Avenue Station is, it was, and where Size is, it was across the street on the other side. So,
okay.
Yeah, like almost directly across from there. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yep. Nope. I get it. College for sure. 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah. I would totally do college over again. So 100%. Although, you know, I could down a pretty mean beer bong. I'm just going to say. I had that mastered. It's about the only thing I had mastered at the time.
Good for you. never learned that one. Shoot. Well, man, pretty good pod for having to pull something off on the fly here. For
no kidding.
Trouble hooking up with our guest. We will get back to Brooks at some point, I'm sure.
He confirmed 2 weeks.
The title. You can change the title on this.
Yep, I can. So
that doesn't confuse people.
Right. I know. Right. But yeah, we can, he's already confirmed we'll be on for 2 weeks from tonight. So whatever that date is, I can't do the math. So,
all right.
It looks like the 8th. So, all right.
Sounds good.
We appreciate everybody listening. Thank you so much, everybody, for supporting Three Beards Media. Check out the latest episode of Side of the Storm from yesterday. I know the girls from Hot Mess Happy Hour had a new episode a couple weeks ago. Drew and Andrew had an emergency pod about Caden Proctor. And now there might be rumors that he's going to sign with Iowa State, which is the greatest troll job ever if that happens.
Not happening.
Oh, God. It would be so awesome. And then I think we have an episode of False Starts tomorrow night. So, and then I'm done for the week. So, Aaron, got anything else before we let everybody go?
Just by the time we come back, just be ready to celebrate Iowa State national champions.
There we go. That's the way we end on that. So with that, everybody have a great night, and we are out of here.